If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3, looking at what's going on in Israel right now. Zechariah chapter 12, starting at verse 2. God says, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And again, Lord, Israel is on the front page of the news. I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, what's really going on there and why. And how much, Lord, we need to be trusting you, especially as these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. People, what in the world is going on? In playgrounds in England, little kids are being called stinking Jews. In France and Germany, swastikas are being spray painted on synagogues and tombstones in Jewish cemeteries. In Russia, Jews and incoming flights from Israel at airports are being beat up and spit on. In China, TikTok is calling Jewish people snakes and vampires. Here in America, the Hitler Youth are building pro-Palestinian liberation compounds on college campuses. And in Israel, the Jewish people again are fighting for their lives. The whole world has Israel derangement syndrome. What in the world is going on? Well, I'll tell you, in these last days, all the nations of the world are gathering together and ganging up on Israel, just exactly like the Bible says they would. The news tells us what is happening, the Bible tells us why it's happening, and the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We turn today to Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. 400 years before the birth of Christ, 2,400 years ago, Zechariah prophesied about the last days that we're living in right now. And in our text today, he tells us what's happening right now. The entire world is lining up against the nation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we better understand why it's happening so that we can understand the times we're living in and turn to the God of Israel with all of our heart and soul. Our text this morning, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, tells us three reasons why the entire world is lined up against the nation of Israel. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why the world is lined up against Israel is because of what's happened with Israel in the past. And that's exactly what Zechariah is reminding us of here. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon who's saying, Kevin, that's the past. That's ancient history. You can forget that because that was so 5 minutes ago. No, it was thousands and thousands of years ago. And those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. And sadly enough, that's exactly what's happening with Israel right now. Because there has never been more black-hearted anti-Semitism and Jew hate in the world than there is right now. All because of what happened with Israel in the past. Because it started even before the nation of Israel started. The Bible says it's all about the promise that God gave to Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden that one day a male descendant of Eve would be born who'd be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that promise was passed down generation after generation, down the promised family line, down to one of the sons of Noah named Shem. And then down to one of his descendants, a Shemite, a Semite, a Jew named Abraham. But the problem was Abraham and his wife Sarah didn't have a son to keep the promise going, and they were pushing 100 years old. So Abraham got his freak on with Sarah's Egyptian maid Hagar and made a son named Ishmael, the father of the Arab people. Then Abraham and Sarah made a son together named Isaac. So two sons, only one blessing. And what did God say? Genesis chapter 17, verse 21. I'll take Ishmael and I'll make him into a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. So God's blessing of salvation to the nations would go to the descendants of Isaac, the Jewish people, and not the descendants of Ishmael, the Arab people. And because of that, the Arab people who later gave birth to the religion of Islam have hated the Jewish people with a purple prickly pear passion ever since. In fact, the Quran, the Muslim holy book, says chapter 5 verse 60 that Jews are pigs and monkeys. Gee, feel the love. Do we see why the Muslim nations are all lined up against the nation of Israel? Because of something that happened in the past? The devil. The dragon trying to devour the male child. Previous slide. That's Jesus Christ. The devil knew that the Jewish people would give birth to the Messiah. So we hated the Jewish people. And all throughout history, got other people to hate the Jewish people too. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 64 to 66. God said the Jewish people would be scattered to all kinds of nations all over the world where they'd be harassed and persecuted and get the shaft. And history shows that is exactly what happened. All culminating in the Nazi concentration camps in World War II that killed one third of all the Jews in the entire world. Adolf Hitler was even in cahoots with a Muslim leader named Amin al-Husseini to try to kill all the Jews in the Middle East too. And the sad thing is, the Muslims and the Nazis are trying to do exactly the same thing today. Do we see what's going on right now because of what happened with Israel in the past? And part of that promise that God gave to the Jewish people was the land of Israel. All the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. All the way from Egypt, clear to Iraq, and everything in between, as God originally gave it, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, as an everlasting possession to the Jewish people and their generations forever. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, and forever means forever. So the land of Israel is the only place on earth that was specifically given by God to a specific group of people. Every cubic millimeter to the Jewish people and not the Muslim people. Savvy? And that promise, that covenant, is unconditional. Which means that land belongs to the people of Israel, regardless of what they do. Because that covenant does not depend on what the Jewish people do for God. It only depends on what God does for the Jewish people. Which means you're never going to get those people off that land, folks. From the river to the sea, my eye, the Jewish people ain't going anywhere. And I know somebody's hearing this, well, Kevin, you're just a Zionist. Absolutely, positively I am. I am a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing Zionist Christian who stands for the Jewish people and supports the nation of Israel. Because regardless of what Alex Jones says, the God of Israel gave the land of Israel to the people of Israel and to nobody else. And if you're listening to this sermon and you're not a Zionist too, it's either because you're not reading the Bible or you don't believe what it says. Now, everything I just said was Bible and History 101. But see, it's not being taught in the schools, and it's not being preached in the church. And because of that, people who get all their news from TikTok are denying it. I've heard it a million times in emails and letters. Kevin, Israel is really Palestine. 1948, when Israel was attacked by all the surrounding Muslim countries, the Jews told Arabs living in Israel, stay in your homes, you won't be hurt. And the Arabs who stayed in their homes in Israel became full-fledged legal Israeli citizens. But the invading Muslims told the Arabs living in Israel to go to refugee camps. And 800,000 of them did. And today there's over 5 million of them. And they call themselves Palestinians. And they call the land of Israel Palestine to try to get stupid people to think the land really belongs to them. And that the Jews are illegally occupying Palestinian territory. And the left and the Jew-hating media just perpetuates the lie. But folks, there has never ever been any such thing as a state of Palestine. Before Israel, there was a British mandate, not a Palestinian state. Before the British mandate, there was the Ottoman Empire, not a Palestinian state. Before the Ottoman Empire, there was the Egyptian province, not a Palestinian state. Before that, there was the Roman Empire. And before that, there was the Greek Empire. And before that, there were the Persians. And before that, the Babylonians and the Assyrians. Then the Kingdom of Israel. And before that, a confederation of 12 tribes of Israel. And before that, a conglomerate of Canaanite city-states. But there was never, ever a Palestinian state. Israel has had just about everything except a Palestinian state. And because of that, there's no such thing as Palestinians either. They're just Arabs, mostly from Jordan. The Palestinians are about as real as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Here again is the map of the original promised land that God gave to the Jewish people. The land that they're supposed to occupy. You look at that map and you tell me who is illegally occupying what? Well, Kevin, we just need the two-state solution. Two-state solution will solve all the problems. Are you kidding me? Like, that's never been tried before. After the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD and killed over a million Jews, the land of Israel was like open range for all different kinds of people who would squat there for a while and move on. 1516, the Muslim Ottoman Empire took it over and controlled it for 400 years and let the land go to pot so bad the whole country of Israel looked as barren as the dark side of the moon. In 1890, a Jew in England named Theodore Herzl started moving Jews back to the land of Israel, and they killed themselves, clearing brush and draining swamps and planting crops. And of course, once the land got productive again, then all of a sudden the Muslims decided it belonged to them. So they attacked and terrorized the Jewish people to who wouldn't have it. So December 1917, British General Edmund Allenby walked into the city of Jerusalem and claimed all of Israel for Great Britain. And that same year, England issued the Balfour Declaration that said Israel should be a Jewish homeland, a homeland for the Jewish people. And of course, that just made the Muslims raise even more holy hell against the Jews. So 1947, the United Nations came out with a partition plan to divide the land of Israel into a home for the Jewish people, and you see there in the blue, and a home for the Muslim people, you see there in the yellow. And notice, all the best farm ground, all the best agricultural areas that the Jewish people killed themselves to build up was given to the Muslims. Meanwhile, the Jews got what? All the blue area, mostly down here, which is the Negev, which is nothing but desert. And according to the terms of the 1947 partition, the Jews were also supposed to get all kinds of land on the east side of the Jordan River. That got totally ignored. But in spite of that, even though the Jews were getting ripped off big time, two-state solution, they said yes. The Muslims said no way, no how. And continued to do terrorism against the Jewish people. Well, 1948, British oversight over the Holy Land came to an end. So the Jewish people declared their independence. They declared that they were a nation on the land given them by the 1947 partition. Again, two-state solution. The Jewish people said yes. The Muslims said no way, no how, loud and clear, because five surrounding Muslim nations attacked the Jewish people and tried to destroy them and wipe them out. But miraculously, amazingly, the Jewish people won that war. And then, because of the 1948 United Nations Armistice Agreement, the Jews were given a little bit more land because they were the ones who were attacked. Amen. The United Nations gave the Gaza Strip to Egypt for them to control, and the United Nations also gave the so-called West Bank, Judea and Samaria, to Jordan to control for the Muslims. And when the Muslims took over the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, they killed all the Jews, burned down all the synagogues, and used Jewish tombstones as urinals in their public bathrooms. Now, during that war, the Jewish people captured the Sinai Peninsula from the nation of Egypt. And even though the Sinai Peninsula has trillions of dollars worth of oil, and even though to the victor goes the spoils, after the war was over, the Jewish people gave it back. They gave it back to Egypt as a gesture of goodwill. Don't tell me the Jewish people aren't willing to trade some land for peace. Again, two-state solution. The Jewish people said yes, the Muslims said no way, no how. And why? Because people got to get it through their thick heads with the Muslims. It's not about the land. It has never been about the land. So for the next 19 years, from 1948 to 1967, Muslim terrorism against the Jews continued big time. In 1967, the Jews were attacked again by surrounding Muslim nations. And amazingly, miraculously, they won again and got control of the West Bank, Gaza, the city of Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights in the north. Two-state solution again. But again, the Muslims said no, and the terrorism against the Jews continued. And to this day, everybody from Joe Biden to Pope Francis is calling for Israel to return to pre-1967 borders, which should be military suicide for the Jewish people. Before 2005, the Jews had turned Gaza into the garden spot of the world, with greenhouses that grew tens of millions of dollars worth of fruits and vegetables and flowers that were exported all over the world. But in 2005, President George W. Bush and the United Nations promised Israel that if they gave Gaza to the Palestinians, Israel would have peace. Another two-state solution. But the nanosecond the Palestinians took over, they burned all the greenhouses to the ground and turned Gaza into a third world hellhole. 2007, they overwhelmingly elected the terrorist group Hamas to be their government. And for the last 17 years, Hamas has used Gaza as a fire base to launch rockets and terrorism against the Jewish people. There's your two-state solution. Funny thing is today, everybody keeps talking about a two-state solution. Has anybody noticed that the Muslims aren't calling for a two-state solution? Instead, they're saying, kill the Jews, globalize the Intifada from the river to the sea. Does it sound like they want a two-state solution to you? No. They don't want a Palestinian state alongside a Jewish state. They want a Palestinian state instead of a Jewish state. You can't negotiate land for peace with people who don't want neither land nor peace. 18 times since 1937. The Muslims have been offered a two-state solution. 18 different times they rejected it because they do not want a two-state solution. They just want the Jews dead and gone. Two-state solution, been there, done that. It didn't work. So the only solution is not a two-state solution. It's a one-state solution like God originally gave it. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, God says, from the river to the sea, all that land belongs to me. And 4,000 years ago, that God, the God of Israel, gave the land of Israel to the people of Israel and to nobody else. The first reason why the world today is lined up against Israel is because of what happened with Israel in the past. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why the world is lined up against Israel. Not only because of what happened with Israel in the past, but also because of what's going on with Israel right now. And that's also what Zechariah is telling us here. And what's going on with Israel right now, the Jewish people are still reeling from that October 7th Hamas terrorist attack. Israel's 9/11. The biggest one-day slaughter of Jewish people since World War II. 1,600 Jewish people killed. The equivalent of 40,000 Americans killed. And it wasn't just that it happened, it's how it happened. Morning of October 7th, Hamas terrorists came out of Gaza and started attacking towns and kibbutzes and an outdoor music festival. See the video.
For 46 minutes, we sat in stunned silence, watching video filmed by Hamas and filmed by their victims. Much of it had never been seen before. And while Israel's military is not releasing the clips because they're so graphic, they allowed us to describe what we saw, including a terrorist throwing a grenade into a bomb shelter where an Israeli father is shielding his two young sons. The blast kills the father and wounds the little boys. One of them howls, "Why am I alive?" and tells his brother, "I think we're going to die." A Hamas gunman stands over them, drinking Coke from their fridge. It's not clear what happened to the boys.
Those terrorists butchered people. They shot women down there with nail guns. They raped girls so brutally and violently, it broke their backs. They cut unborn babies out of pregnant women and cut the babies' heads off. They baked babies in ovens. They tortured children in front of their parents. They tied parents and children together like bundles of firewood and burned them alive. Here's a note that was found on the body of one of those dead terrorists on October the 7th. Comes from their leadership from Hamas. Your enemy, the Jew, has a disease that has no cure except beheading and cutting out his heart and his liver. People, that's not human. That's demonic. That's helter-skelter times a trillion. And yet we've got college students in America running around today saying, "We are Hamas. We are Hamas." My God, people, how evil and deceived and brain dead can you be? Amen. The picture you see here shows Hamas terrorists teaching a little four-year-old boy to be a suicide bomber. That's what you've got right now in control of Gaza. And their number one sole purpose in life is to destroy Israel. Article 7 of the Hamas Charter. Hamas exists to exterminate the Jewish race. But it's not just what Hamas is doing to the Jewish people. It's also what Hamas is doing to their own people, to the Palestinians, treating them like cannon fodder and human shields. Hamas purposely puts rocket launchers underneath mosques and schools and hospitals and apartment buildings. And when war comes, they force the Palestinian people to stay in those places by shooting them if they try to leave. So when the bombs fall, it ups the body count and the world blames Israel for it. They know the drill. Hamas brags every year about stealing gazillions of dollars in humanitarian aid that the entire world sends to the Palestinians. They steal it and they sell it on the black market to buy more rockets to fire against Israel and to dig more tunnels. Hamas already has more tunnels under Gaza than the entire New York City subway system. And the terrorists use it to hide from the bombs. Meanwhile, how many bomb shelters has Hamas built for the Palestinian people? That would be zero. The leader of Hamas is a man named Khalid Mashal. He's worth $5 billion, and he lives in a five-star hotel in Qatar. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate in Gaza is over 50%, and 80% of the Palestinians there live in poverty and squalor. In case anybody doesn't realize that the biggest threat, the biggest danger to the so-called Palestinians is not Israel, it's Hamas. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, yeah, Kevin, there's a big difference between the Palestinians and their terrorist leaders. Really? That much of a difference? Because 82% of the Palestinians say they totally support what Hamas did to the Jewish people on October the 7th. What did the Palestinians do when Hamas was parading the bodies of dead Jews through the streets of Gaza City on October the 7th? They were partying down and celebrating like the White Sox had won a baseball game. See the wall that Egypt just finished on its border with Gaza? 16 feet tall, covered with razor wire, buried 60 feet below the surface of the ground so the Palestinians can't tunnel under it. The Egyptians don't want anything to do with the Palestinian people. Why? Because when you get the Palestinians, you get Hamas along with it. See what's happening and going on in Israel right now? And the problem is all the people who say that what Hamas and the Palestinians do to the Jewish people is somehow justified, that it's somehow Israel's fault. I've gotten a million emails and a million letters telling me, Kevin, the fault is with Israel because Israel is a settler colonizer state. No, because you don't colonize your own country. And folks, nobody, and I mean nobody, has colonized and taken over more other people's territory than Muslims have. Parts of the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Byzantine Middle East, North Africa, southern Spain, and now America and Central Europe, where millions of Muslims are migrating and self-segregating and refusing to assimilate to American and European culture. They did it to Israel. In the city of Jerusalem right now is a long, flat, 36-acre platform called the Temple Mount. It's where Solomon's temple stood before it was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. It's where Herod's temple stood before it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. But then the Muslims said there were never any Jewish temples there at all. And then they conveniently remembered that the Prophet Muhammad picked his nose there once. And maybe had a dream about descending into heaven from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So just like that, presto changeo, all of a sudden the Jewish Temple Mount in Jerusalem is the third holiest site in Islam. And from 690 AD to 715 AD, they built two Muslim mosques on that Temple Mount to commemorate it. And folks, that is absolutely ridiculous because if the Jews didn't use the Temple Mount to build their temples on, what did they use it for? Square dancing? One of those Muslim mosques, the Dome of the Rock, is built right over top of where the Holy of Holies was on those two Jewish temples. In fact, that rectangular hole cut in the floor you see right there is exactly where the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies in those temples. What in the world is a Muslim mosque doing on the platform of a Jewish temple platform in Jerusalem? When the holy city for the religion of Islam is in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, 800 miles away. You know how many times the city of Jerusalem, the name Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible? 824. You know how many times the name Jerusalem is mentioned in the Quran? Zero. Take a look at that and you tell me, who is it that's colonizing who? Well, Kevin, the Jewish people, they're committing Jewish genocide against the Palestinians. 1948, there were 800,000 Palestinians. Today, 2024, there's 5 million of them. Does that sound like genocide to you and killing people to you? Meanwhile, as Islam expanded and colonized from the 7th century on, all the way from Saudi Arabia clear to southern Spain, Muslims raped and tortured and mutilated and murdered 1.2 billion people. I'll say it again, 1.2 billion people. And Islam today continues to murder 300,000 Christians and Jews every single year. There's your real genocide. And I know there's people listening to the sermon right now. You hate Israel so much, you can't condemn Hamas for anything that they did. Well, Kevin, it's all because the Jewish people didn't listen to me. If somebody crawls over a wall and breaks into somebody else's house and butchers them like veal and bakes their baby in an oven like a Thanksgiving turkey. I don't give a rat's rear end why they did it. It's wrong. And if somebody doesn't realize that that city of Gaza is never going to be nothing, that area is never going to be nothing but the third world hellhole that it is right now. All the suffering that's happening in Israel right now by the Palestinian people, it's not Israel's fault, it's Hamas's fault. Amen. See what's going on in Israel right now? What's going on in Israel right now is war. And right now, the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, is absolutely destroying Hamas in Gaza. But the problem is they're not only fighting Hamas in Gaza, they're also fighting Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Islamic Jihad, and the Iranian militias in Syria, and the Houthi rebels on the Red Sea. And now they're fighting Iran. Because last April the 14th, Iran launched over 350 rockets and missiles on the Jewish people. And there's little Israel, continuing to fight against all the odds in the whole wide world. And why? Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this, "After the Holocaust, the Jewish people declared, never again." So after the horrific attack on our homeland on October the 7th, we fight, because never again. If anybody harms Israel, we will harm them. And with the help of the God of Israel, we will overcome all of our enemies. Amen. What's going on in Israel right now is war. Israel is under attack, but the good news is the God of Israel is still with them. Amen. Last October the 7th was the most demonic one-day slaughter of Jewish people since World War II. But God raised up all kinds of Jewish heroes that day that saved hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people from the terrorists. 65-year-old grandmother Rachel Edry from the town of Oxifam. That morning, four Hamas terrorists busted into her house while she was baking Moroccan cookies. Terrorists that had already killed dozens of other Jews. You know what that old lady did? She offered them cookies and tea. And guess what? The terrorists took it. And she started feeding them, and she started talking to them and chatting them up, and started singing songs to them in Arabic. And one of the terrorists said she even reminded him of his mother. And she just kept feeding them and entertaining them, keeping them from going to the houses of her neighbors where they could have killed hundreds and hundreds of Jews. For three solid hours, she just kept showing them the love of the Lord until IDF finally showed up, busted into her house, and shot and killed all four of them. 25-year-old Inbal Lieberman was a security coordinator for the Nur Am Kibbutz, just a couple of miles away from Gaza. The only female and the youngest person ever appointed to that kind of position. 6:30 a.m., the morning of October the 7th, she heard rockets and she heard gunfire. She immediately knew that it was terrorists. So she started texting everybody in that kibbutz, running to everybody's house, knocking on the door, telling them to put everybody in the safe rooms in their houses. Then she checked the weapons arsenal, and she got her 12-person security team together. She passed out weapons, and she placed her security team members in strategic places so they could ambush the terrorists at certain points. And she got an order to stand down, but she knew if she didn't attack with her security team, that whole kibbutz would be overrun. So for the next 2.5 hours, Inbal Lieberman and her security team fought against hundreds and hundreds of terrorists that were running over the place. And they managed to kill 25 of them. That woman killed 5 of them herself with a Glock 17 from 80 yards away. Not bad, folks. And then hundreds and hundreds of more terrorists started showing up. But that woman and her security team held off those hundreds of terrorists for 4 hours until IDF finally got there. And because of what they did, Nur Am was the only kibbutz in all of southwest Israel that didn't have one person shot, not one person killed, not one casualty at all. You go, girl. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. A brave woman who can find. They're of more value than rubies. And to this day, Inbal Lieberman has never given an interview because she wants all the glory to go to God. One of the places that Hamas attacked that day was the outdoor Nova Music Festival near Re'im, just 3 miles away from the border with Gaza, where Hamas terrorists paraglided in with AK-47s and shot and tortured and mutilated and murdered 361 Jewish people and took 40 others hostage. But about 10 miles away near the town of Mazlul, there was a farmer named Oz Davidian. And when his neighbors told him about the terrorist attack, he put his wife and two daughters in a safe room in his house, jumped in his Jeep, and started flying to the concert area to see if he could rescue or save anybody. And when he got there, on Highway 232, he saw all the cars. with the bodies in them of dozens and dozens of dead Jews who had been shot and killed on the spot by the Hamas terrorists all along the shoulders of the road. And when he realized Hamas was still in control of that road and shooting every Jew that came along, he threw his Jeep in reverse and floored it backwards to get out of there. But then he noticed four young Jewish people running out of the trees with terrorists shooting at him. So he drove over there, picked them up, and raced them back to his farm where they were safe. When he got back to his farm near Mosul, all of a sudden he started getting text messages from other people who were trapped by terrorists at that concert area, giving him their location, wondering if he could come back. So he got back in his Jeep and he drove back there again. And then he saw hundreds and hundreds of dead bodies. The women who'd been violated, the men who'd been decapitated. He saw the smoke and the fire and the burning cars. People, it was a hellscape. But in spite of that, and in spite of all the terrorists that were shooting at him, he picked up five more young people, raced them back to his farm to keep them safe. And that dirt farmer, all day and the rest of the night, went back and forth between his home and that concert area, picking up one Jew after another, groups of young people after the other, taking all kinds of back roads that the terrorists didn't know anything about. All told, Oz Davidian rescued 120 people from that concert area. And his dash cam video on his Jeep shows you what he was dealing with.
כשבאתי לחלץ אתכם, ואני אומר לה, שנייה, תני לנו לעוף מכאן, למה יש פה מלא מחבלים, ואני נוסף זה.
זה, מחבלים אחי. קח את המשמעות. זה.
את כל המחבלים, אני רואה רק שניים ליד גופה של חייל, וחשבתי, וואלה, איזה יופי, יש חופשים ויש כוחות. ואז אני שואל אותו, מה קורה? ועד שהוא עונה לי, נופל לי הסימון. שיכול להיות שזה מחבלים, ואז אני מדבר איתו בערבית, אני שואל אותו, הם מתים?
מה, יש פצועים?
מה יהיה? וואלה. והוא עונה לי, ואז נופל לשנינו הסימון, אני מבין שהוא מחבל והוא מבין שאני יהודי.
מחבלים אלה.
Ten trips, 120 people saved. And get this, the thousands and thousands of rounds that the terrorists shot at him, not one single bullet ever hit him, his Jeep, or any person that he rescued. Oz Davidian said this, "This was our God doing this through me. God used me to show our people, in spite of all the attacks, our God is still with us." What's going on in Israel right now? Israel is under attack. But the good news is the God of Israel is still with them. Psalm chapter 39, verse 7. What is Israel's hope? Israel's hope is in Him. And people, listen to me. Yours is too. If you just turn to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. The second reason why the world is lined up against Israel is because of what's going on in Israel right now. We go on in this text. We see a third thing. The third reason why the world is lined up against Israel. Not only because of what's happened with Israel in the past, not only because of what's going on with Israel right now, but also because of what's going to happen with Israel in the future. And that is exactly what Zechariah is telling us here. Because the whole wide world lining up against the nation of Israel is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the future. Verse 3, all the nations of the world will be gathered against her. And folks, that's exactly what we see happening right now. 140 nations of the world already recognize Palestine as their own country. The International Olympic Committee now lists Palestinian athletes as coming from the nation of Palestine. You mean the nation of Israel, because the nation of Palestine is about as real as Never Never Land. Corporations are into it. Louis Vuitton is now selling t-shirts with little watermelon logos on the pocket, with the colors of the Palestinian flag, because watermelons are a symbol of resistance in Palestinian culture. And have you noticed all the people now who have all the little watermelon and Palestinian flag emojis on their Facebook pages and their social media pages? Telling all their friends that they're pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian and pro-terrorist morons, because the whole concept of Palestine is about destroying the nation of Israel, making sure that Israel doesn't exist anymore. And folks, that sentiment is all over the world. In Ecuador, the government now is not letting Jewish people who live there import kosher food. Synagogues are now being firebombed in Ukraine. In England, police keep taking down pictures of Jews who were kidnapped by the terrorists on October the 7th because they don't want to make the Muslims mad who were living there. 80% of Jews in Europe now say they don't feel safe in public anymore. Last week, U.S. Marxist Secretary of State Tony Blinken was in the Middle East trying to get Israel to surrender to the terrorists and trying to get the International Criminal Court to charge Benjamin Netanyahu and Israeli officials with international crimes against humanity. The United Nations has always had a hate on for Israel. Since 2006, the United Nations has charged Israel with more human rights violations than all the other real abuser countries combined, like China and Iran and North Korea. Are you kidding me? Last October the 8th, the United Nations held a moment of silence for all the Palestinian people killed on October the 7th. Not one single thing said or done to remember the Jewish people who were killed on October the 7th. See the attitude? Last January, 12 employees of the United Nations were arrested for helping Hamas plot that terrorist attack and pull it off on October the 7th. Employees of the United Nations Relief and Work Agency. And folks, why does that surprise us? You don't think the brown shirts at the United Nations want Israel destroyed? It's all over the world. Verse 3, all the nations on earth will be gathered against Israel, just exactly like the Bible says. And folks, everything that's happening with Israel right now is fulfilling all kinds of Bible prophecy about the last days. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Says it's just going to get a lot worse for the Jewish people. Because after the rapture, during the great tribulation, in the time of Jacob's trouble, God's going to pour out holy hell judgment on the world and on the Jewish people for rejecting Jesus Christ. And everything that's happening with Israel right now is just setting the stage for it. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 says Iran's next big move against Israel is the battle of Gog and Magog. Right after the rapture, right at the start of the great tribulation, when Iran is going to hook up with Turkey and Russia to invade Israel and try to destroy the Jewish people. Three countries that have never had anything to do with each other for thousands and thousands of years. All of a sudden they're cooperating. All of a sudden they're doing joint military exercises together. Turkey is now buying up Russian oil. Iran is now supplying all the drones that Russia is using in Ukraine. 2 years ago already, Vladimir Putin threatened to invade Israel from Ukraine. And anything that Russia does, Iran and Turkey are going to do. Just exactly what Ezekiel 38 and 39 says. Iran now has a Fatah hypersonic missile that can reach the nation of Israel in 400 seconds. You know what that translates into? 6.66 minutes. 666. Folks, this isn't just anti-Semitic. This is end time stuff. Bible says there's going to be another Holocaust for the Jewish people. And today you see all the parallels between the first one and the next one that's coming. When Adolf Hitler served in the German military, his soldier identification number was 555. Five in the Bible stands for death and destruction. The number of the Antichrist is going to be what? 666. That stands for the man who's going to bring about all the death and the destruction. The Holocaust with the concentration camps lasted how long? 1938 to 1945, for 7 years. How long does the Bible say the time of Jacob's trouble is going to last? 7 years. The picture you see on the screen is Nazi soldiers in Austria standing arm to arm to keep Jewish students from getting into the University of Vienna in 1938. Right next to it, you see the picture of the Hitler Youth in America, New York City, standing arm to arm to keep Jewish students from getting into Columbia University in 2024. You don't see the parallel? You don't think history repeats itself? You don't think if you forget history, you're not going to be doomed to repeat it? It's happening. Amen. The Holocaust started with something called Kristallnacht, November 1938, the night of busted glass, when the Nazis broke all kinds of glass over Germany to protest the Jews. What happened last Tuesday night, Hamilton Hall, Columbia University? The slow, methodical, deliberate breaking of glass to purposely remind you of Kristallnacht and the next Holocaust that's coming. And if you think I'm kidding, see the signs that we've seen at Columbia the last couple of weeks at that university? What does it say those protesters are pushing for? That was a Nazi slogan in World War II, the final solution. Sieg Heil, everybody. It's 1938 all over again. And everything that's happening with Israel right now is all leading to one thing. And that's the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 16 says in the last days, demon spirits are going to go out and gather all the nations of the world to a place in Israel called the Valley of Armageddon. They're going to gather there to destroy the Jewish people once and for all. And the Bible says that battle is going to start. And the city of Jerusalem is going to be ransacked. Half the Jewish people are going to be taken captive. And right when it looks like everything is lost, right when it looks like Israel can't hang on one second longer, He comes. Behold, I saw heaven open and a rider on a white horse whose name is Faithful and True. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and on his head are many crowns. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name printed: the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People, Jesus is coming. Jesus Christ will come down from heaven. He will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll shoot across the Kidron Valley, bust into the temple like he owns the place. He'll take the Antichrist and the devil and throw him into hell. He'll destroy all of Israel's enemies. The Jews will look upon the one they have pierced. All Israel will be saved. And Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9, after all the smoke is cleared and it's all said and done, there will be only one king, and his name will be the only name: Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the future for the people and the nation of Israel. And folks, do we have any idea how close we really are to all that starting to happen? The Bible says in the last days, during the Great Tribulation, there will be a third temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And all kinds of Orthodox Jews all over Israel and all kinds of Christians all over the world are chomping at the bit to see that temple built, because they think it's going to make the Messiah come back faster. And there's all kinds of ways that temple could be built. Before October the 7th, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was this close to signing onto the Abraham Accords with Saudi Arabia. Part of that was the two-state solution, because Saudi Arabia told Benjamin Netanyahu if Israel went two-state solution, they would deal with the Palestinians and the Muslims in Jerusalem, and they would build the Jews that third temple in Jerusalem, and they'd even pay for it. But the problem has always been building that third temple, according to the Bible, according to God's law. Numbers chapter 19, the ashes from a pure red heifer need to be sprinkled on that whole temple area to purify it and make it fit to use. A pure red heifer that has never had a calf, never been milked, never been worked for yoke. Even the hooves had to be red. Can't have many more than four or five white hairs anywhere in its body. And those heifers have to be sacrificed, and the ashes sprinkled around that temple area to make it good to go. So no red heifer, no temple. Since the time the law of Moses was given, 9 red heifers have been sacrificed. So the next one will be number 10. And the number 10 in the Bible stands for the completion and the perfection of God's will. And that red heifer is so tied to the last days. A rabbi named Maimonides said the very next red heifer, the 10th red heifer, is going to be sacrificed by the Messiah himself. So the red heifers mean the temple is coming and Messiah is coming. So for decades now, Orthodox Jewish rabbis from Israel have been traveling all over the world trying to find a pure red heifer. And they go over these things from nose to tail with magnifying glasses to see they don't have more than 4 or 5 white or red hairs anywhere in their body. And the rabbis have always had a cow about it, because they think they'd find a pure red heifer turn out to be a bum steer. But then 10 years ago, a born-again Christian evangelical cattle rancher in Texas named Byron Stinson started breeding pure red heifers just for that purpose. And what do you know? 2022, he came up with 4 of them, 4 pure red heifers. So they were flown to Israel in a special Boeing 777. And right now they're being kept at a farm in Shiloh, where the tabernacle was for almost 300 years. 4 pure red heifers, folks, and that ain't no bull. And right now an outfit called the Temple Institute has already built everything that's necessary for that temple to operate. Everything from the utensils to the bowls to the robes that the priests are going to wear. And now 4 pure red heifers. Folks, that's got the last days written all over it. But then about 6 weeks ago, some fringe Christians wanted to see the third temple built so bad, they built a temporary altar on the Mount of Olives so they could sacrifice one of those red heifers overlooking the Temple Mount. And last April the 14th, 22 of those Christians got arrested for planning to make that sacrifice because it would have violated local ordinance. Everybody and their brother wants that third temple, but the problem is nowhere in the Bible does God ever tell anybody to build that third temple. Because the only other temple in Jerusalem that God ever calls for is the temple that Jesus is going to build after the Great Tribulation during the millennium. And the only reason the Jews are going to build that temple is because during the Great Tribulation, the Jewish people are going to be deceived and believe the powerful delusion, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that the Antichrist is really Jesus Christ. So they'll really build that temple for the Antichrist, the false Messiah, who doesn't have any nail prints in his hands. Christians, listen to me. We are still living in the church age. So we don't need a temple because we already got a temple. Amen. And we don't need to sacrifice a red heifer because we've already got all the sacrifice we ever need. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now the Bible says that red heifer is going to be sacrificed. That temple to the Antichrist is going to be built. And those things matter, and they are important for God's plan for the ages. And they are going to happen, but not in this dispensation, in the next one, during the Great Tribulation. And the good thing is, those red heifers show just how close we really are to the end, and to the Great Tribulation, and to the coming of the Antichrist, and to the temple to the Antichrist, and the coming of the Messiah. So close, Hamas terrorists said one of the reasons they attacked Israel on October the 7th is because of the red cows in Israel, they said. Because they know the presence of those red heifers mean that the Messiah is coming. And that it's this close to happening. And how close? People, I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the last of the last days, this close to the start of the Great Tribulation. And I believe with all of my heart, those four red heifers, because they are so rare, are going to be the ones that are going to be sacrificed to build that temple to the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation starts the nanosecond the Antichrist is revealed. And the Antichrist is revealed the very nanosecond he confirms that covenant with Israel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And sacrifices the red heifers and starts to build that third temple. But notice, what does the Bible say happens right before the start of the Great Tribulation? What happens right before the Antichrist is revealed? We Christians are raptured out of here and we are going home. Any second now. And how do we know that? According to the Bible, according to God's law, the law of Moses, those heifers have to be sacrificed at what age? They have to be sacrificed when they're 3 years old. When were those red heifers from Texas born? They were born in 2021, which means 2021 plus 3, 2020. This year, they are 3 years old this year. This year, which means this year, the Antichrist could be revealed. Those heifers could be sacrificed and we could be raptured. Tick tock goes the clock. Any second now, count me in, count me up, and count me out of here. Folks, everything that's happening with the nation of Israel is God's timepiece for the last days. And right now that clock is telling us it is 1 second to midnight. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. Mashiach HaMashiach is coming. And you know what? The Jewish people in Israel are sensing that too. In case you haven't noticed, for the last several months, all of a sudden, in the city of Jerusalem, hundreds of thousands of Jews are just showing up spontaneously, led by the Spirit, for prayer and praise rallies at the Western Wall. And as they stand there, they're singing this song that everybody in Israel is singing right now. A song called, I Believe. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. And though he tarry, I will wait daily for his coming, because soon he will come. IDF soldiers in their barracks, IDF soldiers, even as they're fighting Hamas terrorists on the battlefield in Gaza, are singing that same song. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. And though he tarry, I will wait daily for his coming. Because soon he will come. Folks, I don't believe that Jesus is coming soon. I know Jesus is coming soon. Any second now, because all the signs are there. The only question is, Are you ready for him? There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not saved. You never confessed your sins to God. You've never put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. The nanosecond this service is over, you need to get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and you pray to receive Christ before He comes, before it's too late. Jesus is coming. And ready or not, here He comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call.
Salvation come, behold He comes, riding on the clouds.